Josh Yowie joins us once again. Talk the Pittsburgh Penguins. Crosby, Malkin back in the lineup. And Josh, I read a great stat that the Penguins were 9-0-1 of their last 10 when both of those guys were out of the lineup. So I know obviously it's a short term, it's only 10 games, but when those two are out, this team finds a way to step up and play well.
Yeah, that is kind of an alarming number. I don't know if Crosby and Malkin like that number or not, but no, you know, it started during the 10-11 season when Crosby was out for the year with a concussion injury and then Malkin tore his ACL. And Penguins still finished with 108 points that season, which I thought was really incredible. And Dan Vilesma, very much rightfully earned Coach of the Year honors for that performance. No, they do find a way, but the problem is I think everybody kind of relaxes when those two are back in the lineup. In fact, we certainly saw that earlier in the week when Crosby returned after missing the one game, and Penguins just played horribly with him back in the lineup. So that certainly has been an issue. But, no, it can be a resourceful team at times, no question.
Well, I mean, the record is an oddity. It surprised me, but the obvious fact, they're a better team, more talented team with both of them in there. It also gives them a lot more leeway to do things in their top couple of lines, as we're seeing with some of the combinations against the Oilers tonight.
Yeah, there's no question. Those guys being back in the lineup makes them so much deeper. That puts Brandon Sutter at third center, which is where he should be. He's not really a top six guy, but he's a very good third line center, in my opinion. And they just picked up Max Lapierre, who they really like, to be their fourth line center. So, yes, I mean, from the day Crosby was drafted, really, this team has been built with the center as the foundations. No question about that. And they can finally kind of see what they have to work with. It's been such a strange season, guys. And we've seen this probably three or four times with the Penguins in the last few years. They just have so many injuries. They're never healthy. That it's very difficult to analyze exactly how good this team is because you never really see the full team. And they're starting to get healthy again. Obviously, Malkin is a huge piece of this team. So maybe this Western Canadian road trip can be the start of seeing just what they can do.
Now, David Perron, talked to him today. He's had now 12 games with Crosby. Said he had to adjust his game a little bit, especially just circling deeper into the defensive zone to get the more speed coming through the neutral zone because Crosby's so explosive. Now, I look at Perron's numbers, and 6 goals in 12 games are great. 9 points is great, but they've been on the ice for a lot of goals against. How come?
They have. I don't know that has much to do with those two in particular, though. Marc-Andre Fleury's been great most of the season. He hasn't been real good the last month. I think he got a little bit tired, and then they played him a bit too much at times. You guys would know better than me. I don't think Perron's a bad defensive player, really, and I certainly don't think Crosby is. And to be quite frank, I think those two have been really, really good together. There's a perception that Crosby is easy to play with. And I don't know, maybe it was like that with Gretzky back in the day, and certainly there was that perception with Mario. And for the most part, Gretzky and Mario could make line mates better, almost didn't really matter who it was. Crosby's a little different. Some guys don't figure out how to play with Crosby. It's kind of interesting to me. Some guys are comfortable with him, some guys aren't. But Perron, really, from day one, has looked extremely comfortable playing with Crosby. And Crosby is a little picky about who he plays with. And he's made it pretty darn clear that he likes playing with David Perron. So I think you'll be seeing those two together for the duration of the season.
Now, you know, has Perron been a pleasant surprise given his production's been good, but I guess sort of an eye-opener in the sense that out east you don't get to see a lot of these guys. I mean, you can read the numbers and you know a little bit about them. But this is a talented guy who's also got a little bit of attitude, and you can never have too much talent or too much attitude.
No, and that's the thing about him. I think everybody knows Perron is a really skilled hockey player, and he is not disappointed in that regard. But if you talk with Jim Rutherford or the Penguins coach Mike Johnson, they'll tell you what they love about him is just how fearless he is when he goes to the net. I mean, they didn't really know they were getting that. They kind of thought, you know, this is a legitimate top six talented guy, and we need one, so they got him. But Johnson said the other day, said, I just couldn't believe how often the guy gets his nose dirty. And they love that about him, and that's one of the reasons he plays so well with Crosby, because when Crosby's at his best, he's not really scoring many pretty goals. You know, he's doing his damage down by the goal line in the corners in front of the net. That's where he excels. And to have a line mate who isn't afraid to go to those areas, I think has been very beneficial for him.
Josh Yowie joining us. Josh, Mark Arcabello's playing with Malkin tonight. Is this just a short-term thing? What do you think the long-term viewpoint is on who's going to be on that wing beside Malkin?
Yeah, that got my attention a little bit when I saw the line combinations this morning. I really wasn't expecting that. Arcabello really hasn't done much with the Penguins. He's been up for a couple of weeks now. They claimed him from Nashville. And he hasn't been terrible. He just hasn't done really anything to get attention. I don't think he has any points yet. I think with him, they just want to really get a look and say, okay, let's see what we have here. You're playing with Malkin for the next couple of games. Show us what you can do. Almost like a tryout type thing. I don't really expect him to be in that position. The guy who will probably play with Malkin, assuming the Penguins don't bring in any more forwards, and they may, but if that top line ends up being Kunitz and Perron and Crosby, the second line is going to be Malkin and Patrick Hornquist, certainly, and I think Blake Como will be the guy who will play with them. He was really, really good in the first 2 weeks of the season. He was on pace for 30 goals before he broke his wrist in Florida right before Christmas. He should be back in a week or two. And even though you don't think of Blake Como as a big-time goal scorer, man, he clicked with Malkin. He's kind of a third wheel on that line who can do the dirty work and bang in some goals. He's got a really good shot, too. For whatever reason, he clicked with them. So I would guess he would be the guy to round out the top six if they don't go get anyone else.
You know, I look at the stats, and again, Marc-Andre Fleury, 40 games played. Numbers are pretty good again, 919. Is he just settled in and ready to go? I mean, there's been past consternation about playoff performances and such. He's rock solid right now during the regular season again.
Yeah, and, you know, he played pretty well in the playoffs last year. They did not lose that series to the Rangers because of him. They lost that series because Sidney Crosby scored one goal in the playoffs and because of Kenny Malkin didn't play very well in the last three games. You know, maybe Fleury was outplayed slightly by Henrik Lundqvist, but there's no shame in that. Ever since Mike Bales has become his goaltender's coach starting in the 13-14 season, he's been a different goaltender in my view. And I realize for a lot of people he probably needs to win another cup to get full credit, and that's fair because he has had his playoff implosions. But he's 30 now. He's much more mature, I think, on and off the ice. He no longer allows the occasional horrible goal, which was kind of his trademark for a while there. He just doesn't give up bad goals anymore, and I think he's been terrific. And I don't think the Penguins are really worried about him when the postseason comes around. I think there's a sense that he'll be just fine.
Josh, with Fleury, it's interesting. He's a veteran. He's a proven guy. You mentioned Bales. Now, we've seen a guy rekindle his career. Not that Fleury had to rekindle his. Devan Dubnyk looked like he was finished after last season. He's bounced back very well for Minnesota. He's taken some advice on the goaltending front. He's changed his game. What has Bales done with Fleury, even if it's just a tweak, to make that difference?
Well, if anything, he has tried to keep him calm in the net. And what I mean by that is Fleury might be the league's most athletic goaltender, but he would try to use that athleticism far too much at times. And Bales has gotten him to be just more calm and steady in the net, stop flopping around left and right. That's been the biggest thing, really. Nothing real technical there, but just to trust himself a little more. And we've seen it, and there will always be some limitations with Fleury. He's horrible at handling the puck, and he doesn't have real good instincts for it, and that's always going to be an issue, things like that. But he's got him to calm down, and he just seems like a mentally tougher goaltender than he's ever been in the past. Just being around him, I don't know, he just there's a sense of maturity and almost wisdom with him that you never really sensed a few years ago. So I think he, as much as anyone, really just wants the playoffs to come, because I don't really think he's afraid of the playoffs anymore. Maybe he was a few years ago, but I certainly don't think he is now.
Josh Joey joining us. Now, Josh, we mentioned Arcabello. He's there on just, an audition to see what he can do beside Malkin. Now, Bo Bennett not playing tonight, but is he going to be the guy, do you think, long-term on that second line? Are the Penguins possibly going to be looking to acquire a rental player on there? Or, you know, what do you think is their long-term plan on that second line?
Well, you know, Bennett is a guy they've always liked. He's a former first-round draft pick. He's a very, very skilled guy, but he's never been a real productive guy, and he's never really been able to stay healthy. All season long, Mike Johnson has pushed the idea of having more of a puck possession third line as opposed to a crash and bang third line. He wants his third line to be Brandon Sutter, Bo Bennett, and Steve Downey. Those three guys have really clicked. And Downey's a guy who probably has a little more skill than people think when he's actually got his head on straight and playing hockey, which, you know, at times he's been really good this season. So he wants that to be his third line. Ideally, do they want Cuomo on the second line? No. But because of their salary cap situation and because of the fact that Ole Mata and Pascal Dufoulier are out for the year, they're limited in terms of what they can do. You know, the talk in Pittsburgh is going to be, as it is every year, where they bring Yarmer Yager back to play with Malkin because everybody thinks those two would play great together. I think in a perfect world they would, but just because of the salary cap, I think it's pretty unreasonable that that would happen.
Josh, one guy that just jumps out at me, not that it's anything new, Chris Letang. He seems, to, by the numbers at least, it looks like he's playing as well as he ever has. He's 27 years old. He's right in the wheelhouse of his prime. How's he been this season?
If there are more than one or two better defensemen in the league right now, I haven't seen them. He's absolutely never played better. His game is in complete control now. You know, he's always been this great talent, but sometimes his decision-making with the puck would be very poor. He would jump into the play when it really wasn't prudent. We don't see that from Chris anymore. This coaching staff with Johnson and Gary Agnew in particular, boy, have they been good for him. They've gotten through to him. He runs the power play better than he ever has. He doesn't try to go for the pretty play too much. He's actually shooting the puck. And I can't say enough about his defensive work. His one-on-one defensive work is just outstanding. He's a much stronger guy than people realize. You never see him get knocked off his skates. No, it's been a joy to watch him play. And, you know, it's funny, Crosby and Malkin are on this team, but you could make a very legitimate argument that Chris Letang has been their best player this season. He's really been that good.
Interesting, Josh, because, you know, people out west are saying, hey, Mark Giordano was definitely up for the Norris. So if you were saying right now in the Eastern Conference, would Letang be the best guy in the East?
Honestly, and Giordano, absolutely. I mean, what he's done, you can't deny. But between he and Weber and Letang, those might be the three guys I would go with if I were looking for three finals. I don't know that Letang will. I think there's a feeling around the league that Letang, you know, puts up numbers because of the team that he plays for and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But honestly, guys, I might be biased because I see the guy play every night, but I really think he's underappreciated. He's certainly a great talent. And we think of other great offensive talents like the Subbans and Carlsons, guys of that nature. He's having better years than those guys are. And his defensive work gets overlooked, but I'm telling you, it's been really, really good.
And he clearly has bounced back from the concussions. Josh, what is he doing so consistent in his game this year?
With Letang, it's just the decision-making. It really is. And the skill and just the extraordinary skating ability has always been there. But he's picking his spots so well. I mean, if the Penguins are trailing tonight 3-2 in the third period, you'll see him jumping into the play like a madman, but that's when it's appropriate, when you're trailing. It used to be we would see Chris do that when the Penguins were winning 3-2 with 5 minutes left, and on occasion it would create a disaster. But he's just playing situational hockey, I think, much better than he ever has. And you said it, he's 27 now. He's coming to his prime. I think he's more mature as a hockey player, and this coaching staff has really gotten through to him. And he's really been a joy to watch this season. I can't say enough about the guy.
Well, that's going to be a bullet in the chamber that the Penguins haven't always had. They've got a lot of firepower, but that guy who can control the play and produce points and make good decisions on the blue line does nothing but complement that forward group.
Oh, absolutely. You ask Crosby or Malkin who they like being on the ice with, and I think they both fight over being out there whenever Letang's pairing is on the ice because he's been that good. And when the Penguins are healthy, you'll see Letang and Paul Martin as a pairing. And Martin is kind of an understated player, but he is really a smooth skater, wonderful skills with the puck. Those two complement each other well, and they can both play 30 minutes a night almost effortlessly, which is a great thing because that means the Penguins can get them out there with Crosby or Malkin almost at will. And Crosby and Malkin, like Perron said this morning, you know, Sid did his best when he's got speed through the neutral zone. And when you got guys like Letang and Martin who can get you the puck going through the neutral zone, that's how you can make it all work. So, yeah, there's no question that they complement each other very well.
Josh, I know Edmonton fans looking forward to seeing Crosby and Malkin, and obviously keep their eyes on Chris Letang tonight. Should be a good game. I appreciate it. Enjoy it.
All right, guys. Anytime.